Last week we went through and talked about the different types of baptisms that are in the New Testament. And we went over that in detail, and there was a couple points I still would like to bring out at the end. And for those of you who were not able to make it out last week, let me just real quickly go over. We basically went through all the different types of baptisms, but we focused on three main ones: John's baptism, Jesus' baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In John's baptism, we noted that it was done in water, that the person who did the baptism was John, that it was for all of Israel. In other words, it was limited to just the Israelites. That was who it was for. It was something that was commanded by God. It was something that people had to hear, they had to believe, and it was required that they confess their sins. And then it was a choice of the individual whether they wanted to be baptized. It was so that they were prepared for the kingdom, that they were prepared for Jesus, the Messiah to come, and for the remission of their sins. And then we noted that in one passage in Acts chapter 19 that it had come to an end, because Jesus did come. Jesus' baptism was also done in water, but it was specifically told to us in John chapter 4 that it was his disciples that did the baptism. Jesus himself did not baptize. And that's an important point. We want to take note of that Jesus himself didn't actually do the baptism. His disciples always were asked to do the baptism. It was, though, for all nations, not just Israel. It, again, was something that was commanded. It was based on the fact that the person had to hear, repent, believe. But in this case, it says to confess Jesus. Not confess their sins, but confess Jesus as part of their requirements. Again, it was the individual's choice. His purpose was for salvation or for remission of sins. And it very specifically says in a couple places that it was to be there till the end of the age, for the rest of the world. As long as time existed, this particular baptism was to be in place. The Holy Spirit's baptism is called that because that's the medium in which it was done. It was still something that Jesus authorized. But in this case, Jesus is the administrator of that baptism. It was Jesus who decided and Jesus who did the actual giving of the Holy Spirit. It was only in two spots where it specifically says that it occurred. And we see the apostles being baptized and the first Gentile converts being baptized. But one of the things that makes it distinct from the other ones is it is a promise. It's not a command. And that is because it's not something that people decide whether they want to do. God decides whether he's going to give it. And so something is promised, not commanded. The only time there was a prerequisite was on the apostles themselves. They were told to stay in Jerusalem. But otherwise, the second time in the case of Cornelius, they weren't even expecting it. Nobody was expecting it. It was just seemingly arbitrarily given, though it wasn't arbitrary. It was for a purpose. And that purpose was to be a witness for Christ. The apostles were the witnesses for Christ. The Gentiles, Cornelius' household, was a witness to the fact that God accepted Gentiles into the church. It was accompanied by people speaking in other tongues, being able to prophesy on behalf of God. And again, we only have two events. So what we'd like to do, that was a quick review, have a whole bunch of verses that we went through last week. But what we want to look at is there are three times when two different baptisms are mentioned in the same chapter, in the same event. The first one was in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at this in a little more detail. So let's go over to Acts chapter 2. This is when the apostles had received the Holy Spirit. They had been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Peter, when he looked back in Acts chapter 11, looked at back and says, this was the baptism that Jesus had promised. So in Acts chapter 2, what happened to the apostles was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But later on in that same chapter, after Peter has spoken the first sermon, Peter tells the people that had gathered there, says, well, we'll start with verse 37, Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they had said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now the medium is not mentioned. We're not told what they were baptized into. Though you will find some people saying, well, this was the Holy Spirit baptism. But what we want to take note of is, as we continue on in verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for as many as far off, as many as our Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And so those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to take notice. Who made the decision about whether they were going to get baptized or not? Well, it was the people. Because Peter kept on exhorting them to be baptized. They had to make a choice. It was the people who decided whether they wanted to be baptized or not. It was commanded by Peter in verse 38 and verse 39. So in other words, it matches these two. It matches these two. It matches John's baptism. It matches Jesus' baptism. It doesn't match the Holy Spirit baptism. Okay. Who was it for? In verse 39, he says, for this promise is for you and for your children, as for many who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls. Everyone who God calls. Well, that's for all nations. John's baptism was only for Israel. We're looking at Jesus' baptism here. There were prerequisites. They heard Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Because they said, what are we going to do based on that thing? They kept on exhorting them in verse 40. They're listening to more than what we have recorded here. Obviously, they believed. Both in verse 37, they says they were pierced in the heart. In verse 41, they had received his words. They believed what Peter said and the other apostles. Peter had told them they had to repent and be baptized. Well, they got baptized, so we can assume they repented. Okay. Again, that would match. Now, here, believe, repent. Here, believe, repent. We don't have recorded what they confessed. So that won't tell us which one it was. And what we see is the purpose. In verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. It's for the forgiveness of sins. That matches Jesus' baptism. It would match John's baptism, but it doesn't match the Holy Spirit's baptism. It's never said to be for the forgiveness of sins. It was to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit, see if I can get my drive here to, there you go. The gift of the Holy Spirit is in a singular statement. It's not gifts. Like we usually talk about when the Holy Spirit baptism, there were gifts given to be able to do healings and prophesying and and speaking out the language. Those were the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But this is talking about the gift, singular. I didn't put this verse down, but take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "In him also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him," as Christ, "with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit was given as a pledge, as a gift. What is he talking about? The gift of salvation, which the Holy Spirit is guaranteeing. That's when it talks about, the Holy Spirit as a gift, in the singular, it's talking about salvation. When we say gifts, we're usually talking about all the gifts that the early disciples received. And as a result, they were added to the church. Jumping down to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." They were being added to the church. Well, John's baptism was to prepare for the kingdom coming. And the church is the kingdom. Where Jesus' baptism is for salvation, and we are added then to the church that already now exists. And Holy Spirit baptism is never mentioned as adding anybody to the church. And of course, we mentioned already the duration as well. It's for as many as God calls through the generations. So what baptism are we talking about here that Peter commanded them? It has to be Jesus' baptism. And even though water isn't mentioned, we know Jesus' baptism was in water. It's the only one that matches all the various descriptions of what kind of baptism we're talking about. It's the only one that matches the facts here. The one that matches the least is the Holy Spirit's baptism. It can't be that one. So we see two different baptisms in Acts chapter 2. One is obviously and is called the Holy Spirit's baptism. One is Jesus' baptism. But let's go over to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, again, there are two baptisms that occur. Peter is speaking a sermon to Cornelius and his household, explaining to them. And in verse 44, it says, "And while Peter was still speaking on these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." Peter, looking back at it in Acts chapter 11, says that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit again. There's no question about that. Peter calls it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was there. He knows what he was talking about. Okay, we don't have to argue with him. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But notice what happens next. It says down in verse 47, "Surely..." Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for those who are these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay on for a few days. Now notice what happened. They had received the Holy Spirit. Peter said that. They had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then Peter turns around and says, okay, because they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can anybody stand in the way of them having water? Why, are they thirsty? Now, that's not what Peter's talking about. He's not talking about them being thirsty. He says he commands them to be baptized. Which baptism, then, are we talking about that Peter's commanding? was in water. That matches John's as well as Jesus's. Who did it? They baptized him. It was the disciples who did the baptism. So the medium is in the water is done by the authority of Jesus Christ. But it's the disciples who did the actual baptism. It was received by Cornelius and his household. It was a command, so therefore they would have to then answer that command. Apparently none refused, as far as we know. But it was Cornelius and his household who received that command. Again, then we look at it and say, okay, which baptism are we talking about? We already saw the Holy Spirit. It can't be that one. It can't be John's because these are Gentiles. And John's was for the Israelites. Besides, John's not alive anymore to minister it. But the disciples were there. And so we're talking about Jesus' baptism that was done in water. Now, I want you to take note of this. And this is something when you're talking to somebody, it is very interesting because people keep saying, well, the one baptism today is the Holy Spirit baptism. But I want you to notice the two cases where we know specifically Holy Spirit baptism took place, water baptism was also done. Now, all we need is the Holy Spirit baptism. Why? Why was the water baptism still done? If we go on to one more example, is in Acts chapter 19, the one we had for our scripture reading. Paul is traveling, and he gets to Ephesus, first time he's in Ephesus. And he runs across disciples. And he's all excited. And one of the things that the apostles were told to do was to lay hands on people to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So very naturally, Paul, finding disciples he'd never met before, he hadn't been to this town before, is preparing to offer to give them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he asked them in verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The answer he got back was the wrong answer. The answer back, they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, why is that the wrong answer? Well, think about Peter's command in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How can you be baptized in Jesus' baptism without at least hearing about the Holy Spirit? It is not possible. It ought not be possible. You have to know about the Holy Spirit when you're baptized in Jesus' baptism. And so Paul's natural response, wait a minute, you're supposed to be disciples, you don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And so his natural response was, then into what were you then baptized? Oh, we were baptized into John's baptism. That explains it, because John's baptism was in preparation. John's baptism didn't involve the Holy Spirit. Though if they really had been John's disciples, if they knew all of what John taught, they should have still had some clue, because John did say that the one coming after him would baptize in the Spirit. So obviously they weren't taught real well either. But it was John's baptism. What was the response into this? Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, which baptism is this? Well, they're, I should have highlighted, they're the ones that made the choice. They're the ones that decided they needed to be baptized again. It was Paul and whoever was with him who baptized them. It was based on their hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing that Jesus was the Christ. And that while the medium is not mentioned, what we do take note, though, is in verse 6, is in then, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. After they were baptized, then Paul gave them the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Came after. So it can't be the Holy Spirit baptism that we're talking about here. And it's something that Paul commanded them. It's very safe, even though it's not mentioned that water's here, it's safe to assume it had to be water. Because it's the only baptism that matches is Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism is in water. And they heard Paul's teaching, they believed in Jesus. So the three cases where we have two baptisms mentioned, in every one of them, Jesus' baptism in water is always present. Every single time. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was mentioned in Acts 2 and Acts 10. Acts 19 is not a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is a gift that was given by the laying on the apostles' hands. So when we start talking about it, and we start looking at all the events in the New Testament. And Paul said there was one baptism in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 5. It can't be Moses' baptism because that was a one-time event. It was the crossing of the Red Sea. Never occurred again. I don't know of anybody else who's crossed the Red Sea by going between the waters. It can't be the baptism of suffering because that was only for Jesus and his apostles. Though a lot of people have been immersed in a lot of suffering. But that's not the one that's being referred to. It can't be the baptism of fire because that's referring to hell and that hasn't happened yet. Besides, most of us don't want that baptism. And it can't be the baptism of the Holy Spirit because there's only two events that stated that it happened. Only the baptism of Jesus is stated very specifically that it would continue to the end of the age. In fact, let's look at that one more time in Matthew chapter 28. No, it's also in Acts chapter 2. But Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When Peter spoke about it, in Acts chapter 2, again one more time looking at that. Acts chapter 2, after talking about the being baptized in verse 38, he says, for this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. That's a long time. It's only this baptism of Jesus that goes to the end of the age, and it's the one that Peter says is for every believer. And every believer was baptized. You can see this, for instance, in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? How many believers were baptized into Jesus' baptism? All of us were baptized. There isn't a Christian who is not baptized. The world needs to learn that. Because there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians and haven't been baptized. There is one baptism. There were other baptisms that were there momentarily. They had their purpose, they had their reason for being there, but they're not there now. That's why Paul can say there was one baptism, just Jesus' baptism. It continues to the end of the age. I hope this will be useful to you, that you think about these things. It finishes off at least that series of discussions. I do like to offer, though, an opportunity right now. As we're gathered here together, if there's anyone who believes and has repented of their sins, would like to confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and be baptized into His name by His authority. There's no better time than right now. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of their brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.